Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. My friends, I've been hit up very hard lately, emails though, asking me questions of what is this Trump victory going to mean for real estate investing? And quite honestly, no one really knows. You know, the reality is that this stuff that goes on politically is so unimportant that I really don't see it as much. But here is much of a difference. But here's the thing that is important, is that myself, I had to admit it to myself, was so worried that the left were going to get elected again and take this country further down that deep hole of woke liberalism. Craziness where people that don't have any merit get control of all the assets and get control of all the power, and that the normal people who work and save and invest and send their kids to school, want them just to grow up and get married and be happy, live happily ever, the normal people, right? The 80% of the people in this country, whether you're left or right, the normal people just want the world to go on. They want to know what the rules are. They want to play by the rules and get the best results they can get. Well, in our society, things can go far, far right and far, far left. When I grew up, I was a liberal because the country was so far right that if you even spoke a dirty word, you might go to jail type of thing. Now, I know that's an exaggeration, but many, many things were illegal back then. Being gay was illegal back then, right? There's all kinds of things that you could not do back then. There was a prohibition where you couldn't drink. I actually remember going to Dallas and doing seminars, and there was still part of the city that was, you know, non-drinking, whatever it's called, you know, prohibited. And not being able to get a drink. It's just bizarre, bizarre, bizarre stuff. So the right has all these ideas that can take us so far right that it can make it difficult for people to enjoy life. The left has its problems on the other side. The problem with the left, as I see it, and what got to be a problem, is that the many were telling the maximum, or I'm not using the right words, a very small percentage of Americans were dictating the rules, the laws, and the lifestyle and quality of life to the majority of Americans. There's less than 7% of the people out there that actually believe the woke liberal stuff. The rest of the people are just doing it because they're afraid of being canceled. So where am I leading with all this? Where I'm leading is that on the surface, my first impression is having Trump in power and his people is going to allow the country to swing back comfortably to the center. And that's going to make people happy. That's going to make people feel better. That's going to make people willing to invest. That's going to make people willing to rent new houses and buy new houses and, you know, step up an apartment because they got a new job. There's going to be businesses that will be hiring. The euphoria has already started happening. The day that he won, liberals are coming across the aisle saying, yeah, I think I like it better on this side, too. Not only did they vote that way, but even people that were telling him he was a Nazi are coming that way. Again, why is this relevant? It's relevant because the general euphoria of the country, I believe, is going to turn this thing around. Now, I've got an article here because I'm not an expert, but this article is from Greystone Investment Group, which is the top investment group out there in real estate investing, and what they think is going to happen. We'll listen, we'll read what they have to say, and we'll discuss that. But before we get started that, I think you need to understand this. There is big generalized belief systems here. And the largest generalized belief system is that in a economy that is Trump-driven, the opportunity to make money and be successful will be there. Now, I'm going to caveat that with a really big, important factor. And that is, we make money in both markets, up markets and down markets. But we actually make more money in down markets. So what do I mean by that? Well, you can buy assets. And that's really what people do. They buy assets, and assets go up in value. You're never going to be wealthy if you don't own assets. So people don't know how to do real estate. They go out and they buy stocks and bonds and so forth, now in gold or whatever. But you own some assets. Now, as the assets rise in value, your total net worth goes up. Does it go up relative to the cost of living? Maybe not. Maybe it's just following the cost of living. But in your mind, at least it's following the cost of living. That's not how I made most of my money. Most of my money I made because there was something in the marketplace that was broken. And by being broken, I was able to go in and pick up the pieces for next to nothing. Whether it be a house, when I first started, you could buy a house 50 cents on the dollar, renovate it, put it out there on the marketplace, and make 100% return instantly on the deal, and then 10, 15% in cash flow. These were unheard of returns. If you go places where everybody goes, where nothing is broken, you might get appreciation. You might get rent growth. You might get appreciation of the property and or whatever else you own, like stocks and bonds. They may go up in value through appreciation. But that appreciation, no matter how high it is, doesn't come even close to making 100% rate of return. So the key in my book is finding broken assets that you can turn around. Or finding people that are broken that own assets. Maybe the asset's not broken, but the person that owns it is broken. And so you can come in and save the day. I did that with my house. I bought a home from a relatively financially successful family. I'd say family because it was a husband and wife that got married, and then the husband cheated. And the wealthy wife and the wealthy husband had to break up their assets, and he found out that he didn't have enough liquid assets to pay her off, so they had to sell the house for pennies on the dollar. I picked it up for about half of what it's worth. And it's been a lovely home. I've loved living here for 11 years, 12 years, whatever I've lived here. It was just a great investment, but it was more so I bought it because I wanted a nice place to live that had everything I wanted. But the point is, I bought it at 50 cents on the dollar. Now, whether I can sell it in an up market or a down market, I'm going to get more than what I paid for it. I guarantee you that. In an up market, I could probably double it, 50 cents on the dollar, maybe more in an up market. So you could try to make money by holding out for the markets to go up. In which case, if that's your belief way of making money is to buy the upside of the market, then Donald Trump's your man. What they get done, when they get done, with Elon Musk and Vivek Ravaswamy, or however you pronounce his name. These guys, the stuff they're going to touch is going to be like putting lighter fluid on a fire. It's just going to blow this country up with opportunity. And if you own assets right now, which I do, we're going to get wealthier than we are, way wealthier than we are. Bottom line is that everything's going to go up in value. And if you're not in position to take advantage of that, then you're going to be left behind. I mean, when the harbor's full, all boats float, meaning all of you are going to get better jobs, you have more income, you have more expendable income, you're going to be happier than what you are right now financially. However, what you have to look at, though, is will you benefit from it? Because while you're just getting a little bit more income and feeling a little better and the euphoria, you know, it's kind of like the Democrats say they have a messaging problem. They do have a messaging problem. And they do have really a policy problem. Their policies are not that good. On the other hand, most of them are not that detrimental. Only a few are, right? But Trump makes you feel like all that's going to go away. So let's talk about why. Why will the country feel a euphoria that it didn't feel under the Biden administration? The first one is deregulation. They can say it better than I can say it. I can articulate it in concise sentences. One of the defining characteristics of Trump's previous administration was a focus on deregulation, aiming to reduce government barriers to business. For real estate, this approach typically means easier pathways for development, fewer delays in project approval, and potentially lower costs and compliance. The real estate investor's deregulation could make it simpler to break ground on new developments, especially in real estate sector. So what does that all mean for you? Absolutely nothing. There's nothing there you should get excited about, because none of that benefits you directly. In fact, it may be disbeneficial to you, if that's even a word. The bottom line is that if they start building tons and tons of new real estate, that's got to take and pull the rents down, right? Because now you're competing against brand new projects. It's going to make people feel euphoric and start buying homes again, which is going to drive the value of single-family homes back up, and there'll be more people wanting to buy them to lease them. So everything they just read to you there is really counterproductive for what we do as small investors. Trump is really for the big investor, the big giant investors. And by the way, this article that I'm reading is from Greystone Investment Group, which is the largest real estate investment group in the world. And obviously, they're euphoric that this change is going to occur. It goes on and says, in 2017, Trump rolled back various federal regulations that some argued slowed growth. This is that they're saying some argued that it slowed growth, focusing on removing restrictions he viewed as unnecessary. This approach aimed to make it easier for private businesses to operate, a strategy that helped the stock market soar during the first term. The real estate, fewer regulations could mean faster approval times for construction permits and building expansion. Deregulated environmental might favor developers and investors needing flexibility and quick turnarounds. Again, second paragraph, none of that means anything to us. So, Dell, then what does mean something to us? Well, I'll tell you what they are. It's the woke local regulations that hurt us. What do I mean? The worst ones are rent controls. The inability to raise your rent because the government says you can't. That is just disastrous. Now, that is all local politics. So again, although this euphoria is being felt out there, the people that are buying real estate in these bad areas, these blue areas, are still going to have these problems. I don't think on a local basis, although Trump did move about 20% of the people across the board, maybe less could be argued. It's between 17 and 20% of the people moved from Democrat to Republican, or at least they voted that way for the presidential election. Many have said that it didn't really change how they voted on the local elections. Again, I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. I'm just telling you what I hear on the radio and TV. And if that's the case, then these local laws are not going to change. But they can't take them national. That's the beauty. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Lord, that the Democrats didn't get to keep going that direction. So now I'm going to throw something at you here in a minute and give you all these ideas, but I want to make sure that you keep this in mind as I go through this whole thing. And that is, the pendulum has shifted. It is stopped swinging left all the way up. It peaked. It crescendoed. What killed them? Get rid of the cops. Right? Defund the cops. Dumbest thing ever said on this earth for a politician. They're eating it right now. Number two, open borders. Second dumbest thing ever done in the world, to sit there and tell us the borders were not ports, that the borders were secure. Lied straight to the American people. So now we've been lied to, right? And we've been shown, next, calling everybody deplorables. Everybody that wants to work, loves God, carries a gun, blah, 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 are deplorable, stupid, uneducated people. They lost it. The liberals went woke on us. They went DEI or whatever it is, where you have to hire people that aren't qualified just because of their different race or what read or creed or whatever, blah, blah, blah. Those things blow businesses up. Small business can't survive that. And so if we take that stuff out and let the pendulum come back to the center and let business people be business people, and let liberals live their life happily and Republicans live their life happily, and us people in the middle that are squeezed in by these people, then in that particular situation, we're all going to have a good time. The problem is if it swings too much to the right, because if all of a sudden everything goes up in value, the inflation won't show it because everything's going up in value. People are feeling wealthier. The cost of goods may go down because there's much more goods or many more goods out there available to you, like housing and so forth. It may go down. But the bottom line is the rich are getting richer. And my thought is this. I got wealthier when the Democrats screwed everything up and I was able to buy stuff cheap. It's cheap now. Buy it now. When the Republicans come back in and they make the economy flush again, they make people feel good again, the world is normal again. Up until that point where they go too far to the right, it's going to be great for us. Right now is great. Can I say it'll be great by midterm next year or midterm following? Maybe not. Trump might lose both the House and the Senate if he does crazy stuff. So in this particular situation, you have to look at what are our benefits right now. Number one, our benefits are we'll be able to raise our rents again. Number two, people will be able to pay those rents because they'll have jobs and because they'll feel euphoric and willing to go out there and take on some more costs in their lives, right? And then you follow that up with housing regulations, which we'll cover when we get back. We're going to come back and discuss this a little later. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we're discussing what will the changes be under the Trump administration for real estate investors. And in the first couple segments, we got through basically the fact that regulations are going to be eased up on businesses, in which I said that in most cases, that's big time business that benefits from that. But what is the smaller business things that make it easier? I'm going to go over the ones that really make a difference to us. Number one, the ability to screen tenants. If the liberals would have stayed in power, they would have continued to push a liberal agenda. Liberal states have laws that do not allow you to screen tenants. You find a person that's a criminal. They murdered somebody. They burned a building to the ground. They stole money from somebody. They're criminals. And you can't use that to deny people to rent your house. So you got a person living in your house that has burnt down a building, killed somebody, or not paid somebody, or stolen their money. And you can't say no to that. That's the liberal agenda gone crazy, right? I don't think that since all of those decisions on screening laws are state by state, that the bad states are still going to stay bad. But here's what will happen differently, is that the woke agenda has kept us from even being able to stand up and argue these points. If somebody stood up and said, hey, that's crazy, they're going to go, you're racist, because X number percentage of all people in jail, criminals, are black or Hispanic. So they're going to call wanting to screen against criminals a racist thing to do. It's not racist. It's good business. You shouldn't want a criminal in your business, right? And so those types of things, them being able to control what you can screen people for and can't screen people for, is important. In some states, you can't turn down Section 8 housing. Luckily, in the states we invest in, you can. And there's a whole lot of reasons this seminar or today's radio show is not about that. But you need that right to be able to turn. This is your asset. And what they want to do is they want to take away the control of your asset, which basically means you don't own the asset. The next thing they wanted to do is they wanted, well, we'll get into taxes next. I'll talk about that. What are the regulations? There are so many regulations that change yearly that are national, like electrical laws, pool maintenance laws, pool construction laws, all these different things that we have to deal with as landlords, both in single-family houses and multifamily housing, have national laws that just keep getting changed. If Trump and his people can stop that. In other words, how safe are we today compared to how safe were we 30 years ago? I remember 30 years ago, we drove around with kids in the back of a pickup truck, a shotgun in the back window of our pickup truck, and less people got killed then than they do now. Now you have babies that are in these contraptions. My grandkid has like a $100 baby seat. And they have to have three different ones because they grow so fast that they don't fit it. I mean, it's ridiculous, the cost of safety in this day and age. And still, people die. They die from criminals coming across the border, killing people. They die from criminals that have been let out of jail because there's no laws. See, safety in any form politically is not as good as safety by common sense. And safety by common sense says you don't rent to criminals, right? So our ability to screen, the ability to raise rents, the ability to control the asset values are the number one things we care about. And those things may not be improved, but they may be protected from getting worse, right? Only reason is because those laws are stateside laws. And at least now the people locally can discuss the matter without being called a racist or just canceled, their business completely canceled out. Now, I live in outside of Houston. Houston is a Democratic city. We've got the Democratic problems. They've got all those problems. The city's got immense criminal activity amongst the people that are elected in Houston. It's on the radio every single day. You know, another one of the elected officials in Houston area is a criminal. And so I've moved my real estate out of Houston, right? I still own some in Houston, but most of my real estate's outside of Houston. Because why? Because it's an area that you just can't fight. You can't fight liberal laws. You just, they want to destroy business in every way, shape they can, right? Okay, number two, taxes. I'm going to read what it says. During his first term, Trump's administration passed the Tax Cuts Job Act in 2017, which provided a significant boost in real estate investors, The Jobs Act introduced several investor-friendly tax provisions, such as 20% deduction for pass-through entities, including LLCs, partnerships, and sole proprietorships. This deduction effectively reduced taxable income for many real estate investors, enhancing possibility of addition to that. He preserved the 1031 like-kind exchange for real estate, allowing investors to defer capital gains taxes when they reinvest. So the bottom line is taxation is astronomical benefit of real estate investing. It's been in the laws for 100 plus years. Ever since I've been in real estate has been the least taxed of all businesses. It's tax friendly to a massive extent. So we can use depreciation to cover our total income within our real estate investment. Even though we're not real estate professionals, we can do that. Just a normal person can. However, you can take some of the excess depreciation used against your earned income, very small amount. But if you're a real estate professional, then you can take all of it against your earned income, which means you can not only not pay taxes on your real estate income, but whatever your side hustle is, or whatever your main business, well, it can't be your main, it's got to be your side hustle. Whatever your side hustle is, you could carry that income over. You've got to be a professional real estate investor to be able to use that deduction. But what is Trump? He's a real estate investor. What am I? I'm a real estate investor. You see what I'm saying? It affects the people that do this for a living. And that's a very specific gain. So you've got this depreciation. You've also got the concept of taxes in general. How much are they going to tax different levels of income? And where is it going to be taxed? And the number one thing that it did by stopping Kamala, and everybody out there, thank your lucky stars that people were smart enough to get this. Kamala was going to use an unrealized capital gains tax, which means basically she was going to take 20% of your net worth right off the table. Right away, immediately, you'd be 20% net less than you are, and that money would be in the government hands. And then every year after that, any amount of growth that came up, they were going to take 20% of that and continue that. My friends, that would have destroyed real estate. The values of real estate would have gone down immediately 20% across the board, further than they already are. It might have gone down 50% because no one would want the stuff anymore. All right, moving on. The statement here is the lending environment could also shift under Trump's influence. His administration previously worked to roll back parts of Dodd-Frank Act, which was enacted to tighten financial regulations after 2008 crisis. Reducing Dodd-Frank restrictions made it easier for banks to lend, whereby increasing the availability of capital for both residential and commercial real estate investors. With less regulatory oversight, investors could see more favorable loan terms and easier access to capital. So, my friends, this is a curse and a blessing. Let me explain what I mean. The problem is when you make capital very easy to get, everybody can get it. When everybody gets it, dumb people get it. The worst thing for the market out there is dumb money. And many people in real estate over the last 10 or 15 years have never seen the market go down. They didn't even believe it's possible for it to go down. In fact, many people would say, well, there's too much money chasing too little real estate. It's never going to go down. Well, it went down. And it went down because of this very thing I'm pointing out here. If they make regulations so easy to get money, and not only get money, but how much money you can get. In other words, we used to get loans when I first started in real estate of 80 to 90% of the value of the property. Now they've cut it back to 75% of the value of the property. And many of the deals that have been done in the last 2 years, the banks would only lend 60%, 65% at the most. So the banks were in a situation where they're going, look, we can't take this risk. We know these properties aren't worth what you're paying for it. So we're only going to lend you 60, 65%. I started telling people 2 years ago, if they won't lend you 75% on the deal, then you can't do the deal because that means the bank doesn't like the deal. And what will happen if they loosen these regulations up is they'll go back to lending 80%. And crazy banks will lend 85 or 90%. Or they'll lend 80% on the first loan and give you a second lien, a mezzanine lien, they call it, of second level debt of another 5 to 10%. So you'll have people out there with almost no money in these real estate deals willing to buy anything just to get the leverage, to get the asset under their name. So one, they take asset management fees, and two, because they can take an upfront fee for buying it. Three, they can probably sell it in a year or two at some kind of a gain because of just inflation, artificial inflation. But that game ends at some point, guys. We saw it end, and it cut a lot of people off. So that easy lending is a two-edged sword. Plus, if everybody can get money, then there's nobody out there that you can beat because everybody can get to the same amount of money you can get to. I'd rather have it where people can't get to the money, and we as investors know how to get it anyway because it's always out there. The next one is inflation and interest rates. That comes up here, and they say, one of the most significant concerns for any investor is the potential impact of inflation and interest rates. Trump's policies often lean towards keeping interest rates low, which can benefit real estate investors by reducing borrowing costs. Lower rates generally lead to lower mortgage payments and can increase the purchase power of investors, particularly high-cost markets. So there you go. That's exactly what I just said, but the reverse of it. They're saying it's a good thing. I'm saying that's how you end up losing money in real estate. Right? You have to look at this from the point of view of this is my life's investment. I'm not a broker selling shares of stock back and forth to people. I'm not risking other people's money. It's my life and my investments. And our ability to buy real estate in fractured situations is our ability to get rich. Our ability to hold on and manage that real estate over long periods of time is our ability to become wealthy. But none of these things happen if it takes a swing the other direction. And number six, market dynamics, a shift towards multifamily industrial real estate. A Trump-led economic environment could spur increased demand in specific sectors like multifamily housing and industrial real estate. With a focus on domestic growth, industrial properties might benefit from pro-manufacturing agenda. As companies bring operations back to the U.S., there's an increased need for warehouses, distribution centers, and manufacturing facilities. For investors, this could mean significant opportunities in industrial real estate. Again, none of that really benefits you. I'm in industrial real estate, but you have to have a lot of money to play that game. And it doesn't have as high a margins typically as apartments and single families, nowhere near single families. And if you do apartments right, nowhere near apartments. it's a place to park your money if you're already wealthy because it's easier to deal with and you can do it. So with all this said and done, as we come to the end of the show, my point to you to get out of all this, the conclusion is the market is going to become very fraught with excitement. If you don't get into it at the beginning of it, you'll get excited about it at the end. That's what happens to people that don't make it in life. They wait for everybody else to take the gain, and then they decide to get in and take the loss. Have a great day, and remember always, my friends, not the money, it's the lifestyle. See you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.